Well, today is Mission Sunday. I hope most of you are aware of that by now. This is an exciting Sunday because we don't just get to hear from me preaching a message, which is great, but we get to hear from seven different people about what God is doing in Cherokee and beyond. And so this is what I would call a unique opportunity to lay eyes on what God is doing. And so my prayer has been exactly that. It's been that he would open our eyes, because if he doesn't do it, as we've talked about for the last 2 weeks, if he doesn't do it, we won't see. And so my prayer has been that he would open our eyes to see his glory as our missionaries and ministry leaders share. Last week we talked about rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. And we talked about a past component, a present component, and a future component. And we're going to see that exactly in the sharing of the missionaries this morning. There's a past, what God has been doing. There's a present, what he's doing right now actively in their ministries. And there's a future call for us to join and partner up with them and what they believe God's leading them to do in the immediate and long-term future. So that is some of what we're doing. There's two main aims this morning. One is, as always, to glorify God. We want to magnify King Jesus and make much of him. And the way we want to do it is by seeing what all he's doing and hearing about it and listening to this in a similar fashion to Thanksgiving testimonies, because these leaders are going to be testifying to what God is doing and has been doing. And so we want to hear that and not just let it bounce off of us like a rock that's lifeless, but we want to receive it and respond to it and worship him authentically through it. And so that's the first main aim, is just this is a time of worship, real worship, as we hear and listen and engage. And then the second main aim, it would still be worship, but we would kind of make it a secondary underneath worship. We want to worship and glorify God by giving him literal headship, giving him practical lordship of our lives with respect to our resources. And so this would be your time, your finances, your prayer life, and so on, your talents, your gifts, because there's going to be six different missionaries plus one other ministry leader. Bob's going to share some as well. So we're going to have seven people share, six missionaries. All six of them have outstanding needs. All six of them need brothers and sisters to come alongside them and pray for them and love on them and just check in on them and see how they're doing and see what kind of needs they have. Take them to dinner. They got financial needs within the ministry and so on. And so you've heard me use this phrase before, adopt a missionary. My belief is that God would have us go into this with that mindset, adopt a missionary, giving him practical headship and lordship of our life, saying and trying to discern throughout this time and after this time, Lord, which of these ministries, not do you want me to at all, but which of these ministries, with the assumption that he wants us to, unless he makes it real clear that he doesn't, which of these ministries would you have me come alongside of? Which of these ministries? We're finite. We cannot do this with six ministries. We can't do it well with six ministries. I think God would have each of us have at least one, maybe two, but at least one that we are regularly committed to praying for and checking in on and loving on and ministering to and perhaps giving sacrificially towards and so on. And there's a lot of us here. If we divide it into six, these ministries are going to be good to go. And so I just invite you to prayerfully consider coming alongside of. And if you say, well, I don't have any money, Brian, that's okay. Money is not the main thing here. I would say the main thing here is prayer support and just physically loving on them, coming alongside of them, checking in on them, bearing their burdens, walking with them. That means so much to the ministry leader and the missionary, so much more than money in most situations. And so I just invite you to prayerfully consider that and prayerfully consider joining in on the future aspect of what God is doing and what God is going to do here. Lastly, just real quick, a note for all the ministry leaders who are going to be sharing, because I didn't say this earlier. By the way, we need a wireless microphone. And the announcement was going to be, make sure you keep it close here. If you talk with your hands like I do, that doesn't work when you're holding a microphone. And so you, it'll go in and out, and you won't be able to hear. All right. Well, without further ado, Jim, where are you? Somewhere. There he is, right there. Jim Fuller, you are first. Come share, and let's listen and discern. Thank you, Jim.
Good morning, everyone. We're Jim. We're Jim and Rhonda Fuller, and we are Journey Panama.
Yeah, these pictures are out of date. We prepared this film, this video for last November when we were supposed to have Mission Sunday that got canceled. So things are a little out of date. When you come back to the back, you'll find up-to-date information and music and sound. The Peterson Finca is our latest addition. We have 72 last Saturday there. So that's about what we're averaging. We're over 70. This is Christmas 2022. You guys gave us an enormous amount of money for, and it was designated for kids' Christmas presents. We spent it on Christmas presents. And I have to tell you, those kids got gifts that they had never, ever had before. Actually, we had 40 students at the time we started planning for this. We allowed for 45. Almost 90 showed up, but we still, everybody got a gift. It might not have been as nice a gift as the original 45. This is it's a small number of people. We now have 70 some there. But the kids have a Bible lesson and an application. They love to sing. Adults come to Christ too. The mothers come and some of the fathers. And some of them are not much older than the kids. They accept the Christ, accept the Lord. Had an older gentleman came, just wanted to talk about Christ and accepted the Lord. So it's not just the kids, but it's primarily about the kids. Boca Chica School has two different groups. We have first, second, and third grade, alternating with fourth, fifth, and sixth. Same thing, singing, share the gospel, share Bible stories, and application. These kids have earned their special Bible by reciting all the books of the Bible perfectly or four scripture verses. Before COVID, that's our garage in the last picture. Before COVID, we had almost 100 kids and adults out in the street in front of our house. Well, now there's more houses and we can't do that. So we're busing them to our garage in the bed of the truck on a public road. And I kind of thought better of that. So we set up the tent part way down between this finca and our house. And then subsequently, one of the foremen allowed us to have a class in the finca. So that's where this is. Same program, singing, scripture, and application. You can see kids holding up their Bibles, their special Bibles that they earn for recitation. You see, they're young. That little girl's reciting the books of the Bible, all of them, perfectly. The next picture up is Palm Era School. We had been meeting at the Concha for Palm Era School a long time ago, but we didn't have access to the kids. A group came from Texas to work at San Felix at the Comarca, where there's 1,500 Obey kids in the school, and we also worked at Boca Chica and Palmyra, and now that's opened the door for us to have classes there like we do at Boca Chica. Almost all those kids accepted the Lord. That was me sharing the gospel with them. This is a workout from San Felix. This is MAP. This is not our ministry, but I'm on the board of MAP, and last year we participated and helped. That's David Peck's Finca. Next upcoming is going to be one of our workers had left and had gone, yeah, had gone back to the Camarca to teach. Well, she got married. So we went to the wedding way up in the Camarca. There must have been 400 or more people at that wedding. It was an elaborate setup. It went on and on and on. But that's just part of what we do. And we love these people. We love these kids. And we thank you for your prayers and for your support. There'll be more at our table, and it'll be sound with the videos.
Well, praise God. God is good. Jim has such a heart for the kids. And to me, you know, Jim and Rhonda are a wonderful example of what we would desire as it pertains to retirement. This is a man in his 80s who doesn't look it and is serving the Lord till his dying breath. I mean, he has no intention of kicking his feet up on the couch and watching TV until the Lord calls him home. I mean, he wants to be in the field, serving the Lord, witnessing to everybody he can get his hands on. And so we just, I'm thrilled by you, Jim, and your support for him, Rhonda, and you're a wonderful model. This is a man who's very driven and has no concept of his own finitude. He will, anything you want to give to him and give him another ministry, he'll try to take it on. He wants to reach everybody, and his passion for that, for the gospel and for people is contagious. And so, Jim, I commend him to you. Go see him on the back. I meant to say this earlier. After service here, we're going to have some light refreshments there in the foyer as you walk through toward the patio. And on the patio, all of the ministry leaders have tables set up where you can go and get more information and maybe pray over them and talk to them for a little bit, fellowship with them. 5 or so minutes from each of them is nowhere near enough. Each of them could go an hour for sure. So go out there and hear more from them. Okay, Yvonne, you're up next.
Good morning, church family. I'm Yvonne, and this is my husband, Enoch, and we represent Missionaries of Panama, known as MAP. We are a small 501c3 organization that is strictly volunteer. We have the gift of helping. We volunteer our time and use donated money to help pastors and missionaries carry out the Great Commission in Panama. Enoch is old. Enoch is born and raised Panamanian from Bocas Province and is also gifted in doing street ministry and would also like to be sponsored to become a prison chaplain. Before I get into what we do, we want to praise God because of the last missions. Jim Fuller just told you about the Peterson Farm. Well, last Mission Sunday, we did. I asked for all of you to pray because we wanted to build a new ministry up on Jaramillo. And it was the Peterson Farm. And Jim and Rhonda had no idea, and they started it by God's guidance, and so we're really thankful and praising that. Their ministry has grown so much that MAP has been used in building more benches for their ministry. One thing we do is we provide Bibles, teaching supplies, and tracts to various churches, Bible study groups, and outreaches. before the organization Vision Beyond Borders started supplying us with these free Bibles, we had to, you know, raise funds to buy Bibles. But now we're able to use our time and our energy and our resources to do other things. So we're praising God for that. We're able to do what we do in terms of distributing Bibles. We know lots of pastors and ministries that we can help that way. We help finance pastor training and Sunday school teacher training. So I'm really excited about the books we're going to get in the future, God willing. How much we help depends on funding, of course. We've been able to aid Pastor Hernandez's training in his various churches in Saloy, out in the Comarca, about 2.5 hours away from Boquete, for the last 2 years. You know, the Comarca is far away. So if you hear people coming to work with indigenous in the local area, that's not the Comarca. We volunteer and collaborate with other mission teams. For instance, if they need help with putting on Christmas program outreaches, we volunteer and contribute as we can to help. We have game boards that can be used for special outreaches. We have 4 cubicles that can be used for outreaches or church member events. You can see examples out on the patio that we have here today. We have tools. My husband is a handy construction worker. We work on various projects to support and expand various churches and outreaches. We also provide funding if we have it. Right now, we're funding the construction of an expansion of a classroom in Habay, Saloy. We collect, sort, and distribute donated clothing and other donations for the various outreaches. We build benches for seating for basic churches serving Panamanians and Nobe Indians. We provide food for programs that preach God's word and disciple Christians. We have Map House Ministry. On the property where we live, we're growing chickens and ducks for eggs and growing vegetables and fruits to supplement various food ministries and to provide us with food during these times of lockdown. We have a covered structure with benches. Well, actually, we gave them to Jim and Rhonda, but we need to make more benches, so that's an upcoming project that we need to do. We're going to hold Bible studies, God willing, and disciple local Nobe and Panamanian neighbors. We work with other ministries upholding our brethren, being the hands and feet of Jesus, spreading the gospel, and giving God the glory. Enoch and I are so thankful for our church family here at BBF. You guys really lift us up. MAPS needs financial support to carry out what we do. Diesel and car repairs are not free, and more active we are, the more we have to spend in these areas. Donation of clothing, hygiene products, household appliances, toilets, sinks, etc., that you aren't using anymore. Do you have excess building supplies that you can donate? On our sign-up sheet on our table in the back, please tell us what gifts that God has given you that you can be used at any of the ministries here at BBF. Do you teach? Are you good with children? Do you have a four-wheel drive vehicle that you can drive for outreaches? Do you sing? Do you play musical instruments for worship? Are you artistic? Can you help sort donations for distribution? Can you help prepare food for outreaches? Would you be willing to help harvest vegetables and fruits? I'll share this sign-up sheet with the other ministries when we're finished today. This month, MAP is coordinating a medical mission outreach serving different communities. We have Marie France heading up the breakfast and dinner teams. Mitch and Sue Mitchell are heading up the lunch team. Kelly Stewart is delivering the breakfast and dinners to the missionary team house. If you can bake or buy yummy desserts, cookies for lunch, other desserts for dinner for a team of 25 people, please sign up at our table in the back. We have 8 days that we are hosting this team, February 23rd through March 2nd. Marie France and the Mitchells will contact you to find out which day or days you can contribute. Okay, so we'll see you in the back, and we thank you.
Amen. Praise God once again. Yvonne, I love those questions you asked there at the end, because I think a lot of times, and Bob Silva will address this a little bit later too, but I think a lot of times we think, outreach and that sort of stuff, there's nothing I can really do. You know, it's just, I can't go to the Comarca. The roads are too hard on my back or whatever, and it feels like because of that, there's nothing we can do. And yet you just came up with a bunch of questions that I wouldn't have even thought of that, I think are really good. So, I think our tendency is there's not a lot I can do. And yet if we talk to these ministry leaders and missionaries, we're going to find out there's lots that we can do. And so I encourage you, if there's a ministry you want to come alongside of, do as she said, go tell them, here's how God's gifted me. What can I do? How can I come alongside you? How can I serve? And they'll have some good answers, I'm sure. So praise God. I love Yvonne's ministry. The name of the ministry is so aptly titled, Missionary Assist Panama. One time she told me they were professional middlemen. And and that's so needed, because, sometimes person A doesn't know person C, and we need person B in the middle to get us there. See how that translates. But they have their hand in a lot of stuff. They've got a lot of networking, a lot of connections. And so if you want to be a part of a ministry or come alongside a ministry who has is aware of a lot of needs and a lot of ways that they can be used, and donations, et cetera, can be used, this is the one. They love God. They love people. They love the kids. Many pastors are blessed through them and through this missionary. I think of Pastor Hernandez especially, and I know he's not the only one. But, as a pastor, I can speak to how necessary it is to have the support and the help. And this church family has been such a blessing to me and my family. And, a lot of these no-bay churches, they don't have the funds to support a pastor. And so the pastors need serious help. And that's one of the things that y'all have done, is come alongside several pastors to help them be able to do what God's calling them to do, which is just incredible. That's super helpful, and so I really commend that as well. All right, Hurting World Ministries, Gary Bottoma, come on up. I love what Yvonne said. Her mindset is just, from my perspective, and the way that you shared, is just, I'm available. God, I'm available. What can I do? How can I assist? And so I commend it to you and commend that mindset to you. God, I'm available. How can I come alongside these missionaries and these ministry leaders?
I have a big story to tell. But before I get to the story, we need to cover some details.
Oh, okay.
Who we are. I wrote down some details here. El Faro Church and Ministry is in Conos Aires, Panama. Now, you go about 10 kilometers further up the mountain from Palmyra, and that's where we are. The last four are difficult. It's a rough road. There is no electricity up there. Most of it is foot traffic. It's tough to do, especially in a rainy season. The church and the school were built in a no-bay community. That started 14 years ago, and it took roughly 10, 12 years to get everything completed. Now, I mentioned a no-bay community, indigenous community. We don't have time to talk about exactly what that is, what they believe, their moral code, their moral structure. Do yourself a favor and do a deep dive into what that actually means, and you'll realize what we're trying to accomplish here. This ministry has changed that whole community up there. There was about every form of debauchery that you could think of on the mountain before this happened. There was very little knowledge of Jesus on the mountain, and that's true. Very little. The church has an average attendance of, well, right now we're close to 90 people every Sunday. That's rather remarkable. Now, the school itself, you know, we have, you know, four teachers and a cook. Now, I'll explain the ministers later, but now we have four ministers. There's two of them that are, you know, doing the Sunday service right now as we speak. And two of them are actually teachers in the school. And that's a point I'm going to get to in a little bit. The school has between 30 and 35 students. This has been growing, and we're hoping to get more children in there as time goes on. Actually, Maduka, who controls education here in Panama, has called it one of the finest schools in Panama. You know, we do what we can to bring a quality education to these children, as well as a spiritual education. That's primary right there. You take a look at what these people actually need, and, of course, you know, food is essential. But we're trying to address a spiritual need. The last couple years, every child in the fifth and sixth grade has become a born-again Christian. That's really quite a feat. You know, you take a look at the amount of people that sit in that congregation, like there's probably about 90 of them, and oh, a dozen years ago, they weren't Christians. They weren't there. And they actually are now. So you take a look at the number of people who are born again in the congregation, the number of children who are born again, and you'll start to see the impact that the ministry has had on the community. The church is self-supporting, but the school never is. In fact, the school is going to start March 1st. We've set aside $3,000 just for the opening of it. This will cover the books. This will cover the food that'll be there, the you know, all the supplies plus the uniform. The food is a big issue because poverty is rampant up there. It's not as bad as in the Comarca. But still, if you can feed a child twice a day, that takes the heat off from the rest of the family food and becomes very valuable. Now, I'm going to start to get to the big story. And that's always what God has done. You know, we can tell you what we did, you know, but that's what God has done. Last June, we kind of had an emergency issue. I asked for extra time from Brian because it looked like we were going to have a big shortfall. And this is an amazing scenario. About a year ago, I created the website and the Facebook and Instagram pages for our ministry. And I hoped by doing that, we would be able to have at least a lot of $5 and $10 donations that would help out. I'll read the figures here. We reached, this is exactly what I said in June. Last month we had 811 visitors to the website. We had over 3,000 hits on social media. I built this on the GoDaddy platform, and we were at the 87th percentile as far as being effective. Came up with nothing. This is the effort that Gary put into it. You know, this tells you where it's all going to go. We had a board meeting. It looked like we were going to have a tremendous revenue shortfall. And we prayed to the Lord. Lord, these are the tools that we are giving you. Please take care of our ministry. We are just instruments in your hands. We need to have your provision to go forward. Last year, we accomplished all our financial goals, plus we were able to raise enough money for a good use truck for the ministry. That's what God does. That's not what we did. You know, that is a God story right there. That's going to be the template going forward. I'm afraid that 2024 might be a very challenging year. Those of you who follow current events know that there's going to be some big struggles in the United States, which is our, you know, majority funding source. We are going to have to completely rely on the Lord for his provision. Now, the church and the school not only has been a very, you know, pivotal point in that community, but now we've started an outreach. We have three satellite churches. And now, these churches are Volcancito Road, and they're in Alange and St. Francis. They're Panamanian. The satellite churches every week probably bring in more people than the original church up at Conus Verdes. So that has been, you know, quite a reach. I know when I was looking at supporting ministries, I always wanted to know, what are the results? If I partner with them, can they show me where people are actually being saved? Can they show me where people are being discipled? Can they show me where communities are changed? I can report those results. Praise God. It happens. And, you know, of course, I'm going to appeal to all of you guys to partner with us. Please visit us at our table in the back, and we'll show you more of what you can do. Thank you.
Amen. God is so good. Amen. That mountain, when the ministry first started, was totally unsaved. Let's put it at that. You know, totally lost, very wicked, all kinds of destructive rebellion, nasty things going on up there. And God has just been so good to progressively transform the mountain, using this ministry as a vessel. God has been so good. And from my perspective, and I think you communicated this well, it's gone from being, at least this particular one, now the satellite ones are different, but this particular one up here has gone from being more of a evangelistic outreach mindset to becoming now more of a discipleship mindset, it's which is so encouraging to see, because we would be, your church leadership is opposed to the colonial missions mindset, where we go somewhere and dump a bunch of money and take a bunch of pictures and go home. Look what all I did. And then as soon as you leave, they get totally wrapped back into what they were before. It's not sustainable. And so we are totally for sustainability and raising up pastors and planting a church and having them, people that come to the Lord, get connected to a local church. And that's what this ministry has done. They've raised up pastors, they've raised up leaders, they've planted a church, and the church is flourishing. So praise God. I'm so thankful for Gary and his ministry. And Gary, you know, came here wanting to serve the Lord, retiring here, no plans to do what you're doing now. And so God just, you know, radically transformed his retirement and his perspective. And so I find that to be relatable and fun. And I also love, probably all of us can relate, if you've ever had kids or grandkids or just been around them, there's a softness that they soften us. And I've seen that in Gary. You know, the more he spends time with these kids, he loves these kids. He is a big huggable teddy bear with them when it comes to them. His love for them is very visible, very, very known when you get to know him and his ministry. So praise God. Praise God for the hard year that's coming, because it's going to force us, like you said, to rely on God, to depend on God profoundly. And when we do that, who gets the glory? It's not us, it's God. Amen. Well, Daryl, you're up next. The Bridge, Panama. Let's continue to listen. And I want to communicate, too. It's not a competition. which ministry is going to do the best and which one. Rather, it's just discernment. We're saying, God, who do you want me to specifically come alongside and prayerfully, financially, and otherwise support? So let's hear from Daryl.
Hey, thank you all for letting me share this morning. Not that you had a choice, but hey. Yes, I am Daryl Aish, representing the Bridge Panama. My wife could not be here with me today. She's in Colorado Springs, which is where we're from. I have to talk to you afterwards. Her father passed away a couple weeks ago, and so of prostate cancer. So she's up there tending to all the legal and financial and all the stuff you have to do. She'll be back on the 22nd. So I'm looking forward to that. But she is as much a part of this ministry as I am. Our ministry basically connects people to the kingdom of God using God's word as our bridge. We are fully committed to God's word, to this book right here. That's what we're all about. And so everything we do is guided by the Bible. Denise does 3 Bible studies every week. I don't know how she does it, but that's what she does. She has 2 online studies and then 1 here in Boquete, all for ladies, and is doing a wonderful job. I asked her what she wanted me to share, and she said this. She loves watching the ladies grow in their faith and encourage each other by sharing what they've studied on their own during the week. Her studies are not based on ladies coming and then her teaching. They're based on them every day of the week doing their own study in the scriptures and then coming together and they all share what they've learned. And so it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing that God is doing. And she's seen so much growth in these ladies as well as in herself. I shared at Thanksgiving, for those of you who were here, a bit about the new focus that God has placed on my heart for the ministry. And so I'll try not to go over that again. I won't repeat myself. Instead, I'd like to show you some pictures that maybe can tell the story. Okay, we can put up the first one. Oh, there it is. Many of you participated this last year in our first Searching the Scriptures seminar. How many here were a part of that? Yeah, great. There actually were 70 people in that seminar out of this church, which is really amazing. And God did a wonderful thing. It was the first time that I had presented that. It's an Insight for Living program with Pastor Chuck Swindoll. And so I'm qualified to teach this now here in Panama. And I have heard wonderful, wonderful testimonies from many of you about how that changed your entire outlook on studying the scriptures for yourself. So God is beginning to open up other doors here in Panama, both in English and in Spanish, for this incredible program, Searching the Scriptures. And so I would just covet your prayers as we move forward in that. That's a part of what we're doing. You can go to the next couple of slides. These are just a couple of pictures of the seminar. Great. Yeah. So we had a wonderful time. But basically the focus that God has taken me from and to is more of a teaching ministry, sharing God's word and sharing about how to study God's word. And also sharing about marriage and parenting, which is part of my background. Many of you know I worked for Focus on the Family for 24 years, and so I've taken some of that background and developed my own curriculum for marriage and parenting that primarily I've done to Nobe churches. Many of you know they really have very little concept of what marriage is, and how to raise their own kids. So this has been spectacular. You can go to the next slide. This was actually down at Daniel and Tracy Dave's farm. Every Friday night, they gather the entire community of Rovira over to their farm, and they asked me to come and to share the gospel. And go to the next picture. Love this picture because as I shared the power of the gospel, look at what God was doing in the background. demonstrating his power in a lightning storm. So that's wonderful. I think there's one more. Yeah, so they got a really good crowd that comes every Friday night. And I love sharing the gospel because that's what it's all about. Every chance I get, they ask me to go do this. And I said, how could I possibly turn that down? I'll cancel everything else and I'll be there. So that's one of the things I do. But the next slide, go ahead and go to that. Here's one of the NOBET churches here on Volcancito. And what typically I do is I go in with the marriage and parenting material, and I do it in four different segments, 2 hours each. So it's 8 hours of material on marriage and 8 hours of material on parenting. And so I'm there at the church for four straight Sundays. I'm doing either marriage or parenting. In this specific instance, we are doing marriage. And as a result of that, go to the next one. This couple, and these are their three lovely daughters, this couple just recently were married. They were the first out of this church to be formally, officially married. You can go to the next one. That's their wedding, and I think there's one other. Yeah, there they are. And they're just the first. There are three or four other couples that are ready to also take this step and formalize the relationship that they've had because they partner up when they're very young, typically. And so they're going to formalize this relationship in front of God and witnesses, and we're so excited about that. Amen. Yes. And so this is one of two NOBET churches here in the Boquete area that I've been able to share this material with. Let's go to the last slide. The gentleman on your right is Pastor Modesto, and his son is on the left, Enoch. I've known Enoch for many, many years. We had a Bible study in our home every Friday night for many years, and he attended that. And he got me in touch with his dad, who's a pastor of a church in Vallarisco, Bocas del Toro province. And it just so happens that that church is a part of an association of churches called La Luz. That's 70 NOBET churches, 70. And so I've been connected now with this association, and God is just doing amazing things, really. I've been able to speak twice at their National Pastors Conference, and the last time I did the Searching the Scriptures material, one interesting quick story that came out of that, I mean, I'm teaching how to study the Bible, okay? And one of the ladies that was sitting there was the wife, I don't know if they're formally married, but wife of one of the church leaders that was attending the pastor's conference. She wasn't saved. And in between two of the sections, she grabbed me and said, I need to give my heart to the Lord. And, you know, I'm not evangelizing. I'm not preaching the gospel. And God's word is powerful and active. And so I was able to lead her to the Lord. And her husband was just so excited. He was like, now I can work in the church and have a partner on, you know, beside me who knows Christ. And he was just so thrilled. So just a little caveat there. This March, next month, I'll be speaking at their national conference, this association of churches. It's huge. They have like 2,000 people that gather at this camp. And so we'll be sharing there next month. And we just have really partnered with them. We're helping them to build a home for Pastor Modesto. The home that they were building burned to the ground. And so we're raising funds for that new house. We just also put out a plea to some of our donors for a roof for one of the other churches. And the next day, we had $1,000. So next week, I will be traveling down to Bocas, and we'll be buying all the materials to put a roof, a permanent roof, over this church that has been meeting under a tarp. And you know that doesn't work during rainy season. So we've also donated a ton of the Bibles that this church has so graciously given to us. In fact, just after the service, I'll be meeting with one of these association pastors and giving him a couple of boxes of Bibles. So that's pretty exciting. And I'm really excited about the study Bibles, because we bought several study Bibles for these pastors, and they are just thrilled because they have almost no formal training, and they can look through this Bible and just get so much information for their services, their sermons, and that'd be a wonderful, wonderful thing. So, just in closing, I met last week. I was in Panama City with a couple of pastors there in Panama City who both are super excited about me coming and sharing in their churches. And so who knows what's ahead? Only God does, and we're moving forward. But that's what we do. Okay? Thank you very much. Oh, we do have some of these Searching the Scriptures, or in Spanish, Alimentese de las Escrituras, books by Chuck. And you can purchase those back at our table. You can also sign up for the newsletter, and you can sign up for a potential, we'll see what the interest is, Searching the Scriptures Bible study that we'd like to start, where we actually put the principles that we learned last October into practice. Okay?
God is so good and so faithful. I love to hear these stories of people, and not just these missionaries today, but many of you that are just a part of this church that have moved here. And as you've moved here and you've trusted God, following Him to the best of your ability, believing this is what He has for you, not sure what all that looks like and entails. In fact, most of us, maybe all of us, thought we had a clue at the beginning, and then He did something totally different. And just following Him and then seeing how he takes, just as we'll just take a step and trust Him and follow Him and commit ourselves to Him and let Him have His way, He just blows us away. Amen? He's so good. And from my perspective, Daryl and Denise are a really good example of this. A good example of not really knowing exactly what the future looks like, but trusting Him, following Him, taking that step anyway. They're also a good example, I would say, a good example of this practical headship and lordship that we've talked about so much, letting Him call the shots, not me. It's my job, our job, to discern what God would have for us, not to decide what we're going to do. And they model this really well. I remember when they first moved here, and I've seen how God's worked in their life and just slowly transformed their ministry and their focus. Transform is not the best way to put it, because that makes it sound like it was maybe a wrong focus into a good focus, and that's not what I mean. I mean, God has had different focuses for them and has changed throughout seasons where they're primarily ministering and what they're about, and they have been uniquely open to God changing like that, whereas a lot of us kind of get fixed and like, okay, this is what God's going to do with me for the rest of my life, and we become less open to change. In that, and from my perspective, Daryl, you and Denise model that openness to God changing what He has for you really well. And so I commend them to you. I commend their you know, his love, their love, not just His, both of them, their love for the Word. You know, you're preaching to the choir here. You're a man after my own heart. I love the Word, and I love to see these ministries that are all about discipleship and teaching the Word and raising up the next generation and transforming these Panamanian and Nobe churches that, like he said, they have no concept of marriage. They've never been married, never been told to marry, never thought they needed to get married, no concept of how to raise children and instruct them and discipline and raise them up in the Lord. These are all completely foreign concepts for the most part in this country, especially with the Nobes. And so these ministries that have a unique focus on marriage and discipleship with the Nobes is just incredible. So praise God for what they're doing. Of course, Daryl also ministers to me. He's a wonderful speaker, and he loves the Word. He's a guest preacher for me from time to time, and that allows me to disconnect and allows you to get to receive from him. So praise God for him, and I know that ministers to Bob as well, because that means he doesn't have to do it. Praise God. So thank you, Daryl. Next up, David. David Peck. This is a new one this year, so I'm excited about this. This has been going on for a couple of years, but formally new this year. So let's hear from David.
Good morning, church family. My name's David, and I'm a coffee farmer. I have a farm up on Volcancito, Palmira Arriba, and we have the Nobig families that live there for three, four months of the year. They come from the Comarca to harvest our coffee that we drink here in Panama. Most of the coffee is harvested by them. So we have six families that live on the farm during the season, and during the harvest season, we're at 40 to 50 to 60 family individuals on our farm, just on our farm, with half of them being kids. We have a church that we've started up on the farm. We have a pavilion that some of the programs, mission programs here have helped us build. And so we have a church on Sunday. We do that Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, and we predominantly work with the kids, but then we have adults that are showing up for that. We have a partnership with a Nobe pastor, Pastor Benjamin and Abelina, and we partner with them to do the outreach to the Nobes. We're not trying to change their culture. We want to have Nobes teaching Nobes. Abelina and her brother were integral in the development of the New Testament in Nobe. So they worked with a German missionary from New Tribes Mission, who she spent her remaining 40 years of her life single and working on initially creating the language for the Nobe, because it was only an oral language up into the mid-80s. And then they created the Nobe New Testament. So it was translated. Didn't create it. They translated it from the original. So the Nobe now have a New Testament, but the problem is they don't know how to read. A lot of them go to first, second, third grade, and then they stop. So we are working with them on Tuesdays for an education program, teaching the kids how to read. Just think, if you try to understand God's word in a different language, Spanish is not their primary language. Nobe is their primary language. So what we get from reading a German Bible or a Spanish Bible is very half the truth. When we read in our own native language, mother tongue, we get so much more. So we're trying to teach them how to read in their own language. And so we're also working with a number of different churches from the United States. We are building a mission house right now to host mission groups to come down and spend time working with the indigenous here in Panama. So we're currently in construction. We have a team coming down in March from Washington, the state of Washington, Moses Lake. A team of seven guys will be coming down to help us continue to build this facility. I've already started. We got the foundation almost done, and we'll be putting up the floor and the walls when they are here in March. So we're looking forward to partnering with them, and we have a number of other churches that are interested in coming down and working with the kids, but we need a facility to host them to come and stay, and also mission teams, young people to come. Churches in the United States are looking for places, safe places to take their young people to do mission work. And so we're trying to create a facility for that so we can bring these young people, young adults, to come in and experience mission for the first time. You know, I've seen all these, the Nobe coming to our farm and working, picking and harvesting our coffee, and it reminds me of, my heart is torn for them. Keith Green, back in the 80s, said that this generation, us, we are in this generation, we're responsible for this generation of souls, and we need to do something. And the Lord has given me this farm. I've married into a Panamanian family. My wife is from Moqueta. She is in the coffee industry from the Ruiz family. She right now is in the United States, not here with me, but she'll be coming back in April. And so we'll spend a couple months together while we're here, and then we go back to the States and spend the summer together. So I'm here by myself without my wife. I'm missing her dearly, but I did get to go see her back in January, so that was wonderful. So on Sundays, you can come partner with us to worship with us on the farm. We have a van that the Lord has provided for us. The church in Washington helped us raise funds for the van, and we're looking for another newer van. On Tuesdays, if you love kids and you want to partner in with us in working with the kids, you're welcome to come up on Tuesdays. There's usually room in the van to come up and join us if you don't want to come up all the way because the road's a little rough at the end. But any two-wheel drive car that is a little higher than a little Honda can get up there. And then also, I know Bob is going to talk about the rice and beans. This is a great thing that everybody could do for all the teams that have already come up here and spoken, the mission teams. That is distributed to us as different ministries here. Just get an extra bag of rice or an extra bag of beans when you go to the supermarket. Throw it in there. It'd be great if we could get the more timely given to each of the mission groups that come through. So if you can do that, would be much appreciated. Little story about one of the things that has happened on the farm. We had a Nobe mom who her husband has died, and she had twins. And in the Nobe religion, twins are, there's a good one and an evil one, all right, of the twins. And the witch doctors in the Comarca will retrieve these young kids from the moms and train them in their craft. And these kids were worshiping, learning the songs, praising Jesus on the farm in Spanish. And last year they went back to the Comarca for their festival. And the witch doctor came up because the kids were about 5 or 6 years old at this point and was going to claim these kids. And he hears the kids singing, praising Jesus. And he says, I can't use these kids. They serve another God. So praise God, what we're doing. Thank you. I'll be in the back.
God is so good. Sorry, I keep forgetting to turn that back on. David is one of the happiest guys I know. I can probably count on one hand, maybe no hands, the amount of times I've engaged with this man one-on-one, and he's not grinning ear to ear. This guy is a happy man in the Lord, and it is contagious, and if you connect with him and spend some time with him, you'll be able to testify to that as well. He also empathizes with people. And I think a lot of us do that well, but if you said, you know, who are some people in the church who really empathize, you know, he's up there high on the list, especially with our missionaries and ministry leaders. He, as he said, he said something along the lines of my heart is torn for them or something like that. You're seeing their situation and you're really feeling for them. You're struck emotionally, and it's so easy to kind of disengage in that realm and just kind of be about the work, but he really feels with them and walks with them and cares for them, as do all of our missionaries. And so I appreciate that about you, and I appreciate that. You know, David is he's a businessman. He runs a coffee farm. He's a businessman, but at the end of the day, the end goal is not let me get as much money as I can. He's very generous. It's let me serve the Lord and come alongside these people and minister to them and love on them, provide opportunities for them, on and on. And so I just I appreciate you and your approach to ministry, and I commend David to you after service as well. Crew, Oliver, where is that man? He's right over here. We're going to hear from Oliver and hopefully hear a bit about what happened on Friday too, about how your how far your reach is with Crew. So, brother, appreciate you.
Good morning, everybody. What a privilege to be here, not to preach this time. but to share a little bit what the Lord is doing through our lives. Can we see the next slide? The first one, this is our family. My name is Oliver, my wife is Zulma, and Rebecca and Rachel, and we are a family in mission. The Lord has called us to this incredible adventure to help to fulfill the Great Commission through this organization called Campus Crusade for Christ, now is known as CRU. And next slide, basically, I had the privilege or the opportunity to receive Christ when I was a student. I wasn't involved in anything related to Christianity. My wife neither. She received Christ as a professional and through the influence of this global ministry, reaching students and reaching professionals. And so basically we began that journey 20 years ago. We never imagined that this is what we're going to be doing for our lives. And 2 years ago, we received a big challenge to become, I was challenged to become the vice president for all Latin America and the Caribbean. Basically, that is related that we have 27 ministries in all the region. And basically, I have to oversee that with an incredible team, which Ashley Hoskin that is here, Zulma, and others are part of that team. And so our role is very complex because basically we have to deal with the beautiful, with the difficult, and not nice things about the organizations as well, because we want to help increase the capacity. How do we take the gospel to every person, to every single person in Latin America and the Caribbean, not only the 27 countries where we are, but how do we expand to other, to the 48 countries, including the islands of the Caribbean? Can we go to the next one? So basically, CRU works with different strategies. We have basically the strategy with students. We reach students on campuses, in high schools. But also we have a variety of ministries with leaders. We reach families through family kind of programs. We have Atlas in Actions. We have digital strategies. We have the Jesus film that maybe many of you know, the Jesus film. And we have the global church movement. Independently of the audience that we're working with, all of them, we work with a simple process. Win, build, and send. Win is related to that we connect people to Christ with different strategies, different tools. We build them. We help them to build their faith through Bible studies. We help them to grow in their new journey as a believer. But immediately in that process, we help every believer to become a multiplying disciples. That is the success of the Great Commission, that all of us can be involved since this organization began, independently of the role, that everybody can fulfill the role through the purpose that the Lord has for your life. So that's basically what we are doing in Latin America and the Caribbean. But today, because of the sake of time, I want to focus on a couple of opportunities that are very unique for Latin America and the Caribbean, why this is so important, what we're doing as the body of Christ to help the Great Commission. Number one, the next one, the next slide is about the M world. According to the statistics, right now, we can see a trend globally that the future workers of the Great Commission are in Asia, Africa, and Latin America and the Caribbean. So that is telling us that Europe, sadly, U.S., Canada, these countries are having struggles in terms of like the growth of the church, of Christianity. And it says that if the future workers that are going to be reaching the other non-rich groups are going to come from these areas of the world. And one of them is Latin America and the Caribbean. And just let me tell you about this story that happened. That was a very recent picture about a group of students and professionals from Latin America that we sent from the organization to one close country that I'm not going to name, but is a Muslim country. And it's so fascinating that in that project, 83 students were exposed to the gospel. And 31 of them are interested about Jesus. This is not normal. And it seems that the Lord is doing something incredible among this population. And we as Latins, we look like them. I've been I was in Turkey last year, and the guy at the immigration was asking me, was talking to me in Turkish. And I didn't have a clue what he was saying to me, right? And then he realized that I was from Latin America. And so we want to take advantage of this and the opportunities. and the strategies that we have to go there and to mobilize people for God's kingdom, reaching the non-rich groups. We can do that from Latin America and the Caribbean. Let me tell you another thing. And next slide. So Latin America and the Caribbean is a young continent. Our population is around 31 years old in average, all Latin America and the Caribbian. And so in a Barna Group study recently, basically says that young people between adolescents or teenagers between 13 years and 17 years old, they are interested about Jesus, they're interested about the Bible, and they care about justice. So we need to take this opportunity. We believe that we have the next 10 or 15 years to mobilize the kingdom of God, the people of Christ, all of us together, so we can train them, we can reach this generation, and we can see the future leaders that are going to finish the Great Commission in this generation. Right now in Crew, we're working in a big, incredible project globally that is going to be called the Animated Version of Jesus. It is related to the fact that we want to reach the young people. And in order to do that, we are recreating the Jesus film with experts that were working before with Disney, with Pixar, that are Christians, and they're working on this incredible project. Millions of dollars. And we're preparing this film to be taken all over the world with different ministries so the gospel can be taken to the next generation so we can fulfill the Great Commission. So this is the deal that we're getting involved right now as we're mobilizing from here from Boquete. We're basically coming out on and in of the country, visiting the countries, connecting ministries so we can mobilize more and more students, professionals, people for the harvest of God. So you can be involved in that, definitely. And what are some of our specific needs? We want to increase our financial support monthly basis. But also beyond that, we need so much prayer. We need desperately so much prayer. We are dealing with so much complex things as we're trying to expand the organization, not only in Panama, but as you know, 27 countries in the region, in the Caribbean, and we deal with a lot of issues. So we need a lot of prayers. So that's number two. And number three, if you know other people that are passionate about the Great Commission and they can be involved in what the Lord is doing in Latin America and the Caribbean, you can give us those contacts so we can cast vision and share what the Lord is doing through these incredible ministries. So thank you so much. If you want to know more, we're going to be at the table at the end. I think I'm keeping the 5 minutes, right? There you go. Okay, thank you so much.
Amen, amen. I hope that gets you fired up and excited. God is so good, and Oliver is such a gifted, charismatic speaker. God is working through him tremendously in this capacity that I can't even wrap my head around. Over 27 countries and all the different ministries of Crew within those countries and dealing with the day to day and the big stuff. It's a monster. And so I totally affirm what he said at the end. He needs our prayers more than anything, and he needs us to just love on him and come alongside him and ask him how we can pray for him and what their needs are regularly, bear some of his burdens. So let's do that. He's an incredibly humble man, very gifted man. He's like Daryl. He's another one that steps in for me when I'm gone and preaches, and many of you have got to hear him and his passion. Not just for the Lord, but his passion for the Great Commission, his passion to share the Lord. He is a natural evangelist. I mean, he will share with anybody on the side of the street and on the airplane and so forth. He's shared with me his passion for evangelism, and it's incredible. And not just evangelism, but, you know, some have a passion for evangelism, and then let's move on to the next one and evangelize and move on to the next one. But he has a passion to evangelize and also follow up and disciple. And so both, it's incredible to see that. Normally you see maybe one or the other, and you have a couple of different people that come together to make it all work, but God's given him a gifting and a passion for both, which is incredible. I commend him to you. I commend his family to you. His family is a testimony of his leadership and, of course, the grace of God in their life. They all love the Lord, and they serve in the church, and they're a blessing to me personally and to many others in the church. from my perspective, I don't know that you shared. You're in this, you're 2 years in to a 7-year roughly commitment. Is that right? In this vice presidential role. So there's sometime down the road, there will be a transformation of what ministry looks like for you guys and exactly what God's calling you to. And you don't know, and I don't know what that is yet, but we have ideas and dreams and visions and hopes what that's going to look like down the road. And I'm thrilled, and I think we're scratching the surface at what God's going to do with this family. I think there's a real future what God's going to do. Amen. I'm also thrilled by what he shared, and he really imparted this to me, and I tried to share this some months ago as well. Maybe it was, I don't remember when it was exactly, but I totally agree with the trend that you're sharing statistically and otherwise. We discern this as well, that the movement of the gospel and the Holy Spirit is moving south and east. And so the main exporters of the gospel are not going to be the United States and Canada anymore. It's moving. And we're positioned strategically by the grace of God. God has ordained that we be here, not just to be this little hole in Boquete where we kind of get together and do our thing and then go back home and do it again next week. But God has positioned us and gifted us and called each one of us for in ways and for reasons that we have not yet seen as far as the future is going to be playing out. And he's positioning and has positioned us strategically for this global shift from the way I see it, this global shift. And we kind of get to be, we have this awesome privilege to be on the front lines of what God is doing, shifting more towards Central and South America, and to partner with ministries like Crew and Oliver, who are involved in this exportation, if you will, to countries where it has not, that are unreached, to groups that are unreached, countries that are 99% Muslim, and that will not allow people like me in, but they'll let people like him in. And so, you know, we joke, but, you know, God gives us real strategies, and God is so good. God is going to complete the Great Commission, and we just have to be obedient to follow him and trust him with it and be used by him as he will. And so I'm just thrilled with this church and the missionaries and the ministries. And there are other smaller people, smaller ministries, if you will, that are people that are just, they've come here not to just retire and kick their feet up, but they've come here to be on mission, as Oliver said, for and with the Lord, and to allow him to use them and work through them in their for the rest of their life and in their final years. And I am just blown away, encouraged, because where I come from, this is not at all the norm. The norm is, let me go play golf and enjoy the rest of my days how I see fit. But here, that's not the norm at all. The norm here is, let me enjoy my days by doing it with the Lord and by sharing what he's given me and blessing others. And so I want to affirm you, body. This thrills me. And I love you guys. And I look forward to seeing what God's going to do. This is always one of my favorite Sundays, because he's so present and so active. God is doing so much, and we only get to see a little bit of it. But on days like this, we get to see a little bit more and come alongside and hear more. And so I just commend you to go out on the patio. Don't rush out the door. I'm watching. Don't rush out. Go connect with them. Lunch can wait. There's going to be a little bit of food. This is a unique time. Go talk to them, love on them, pray with them right there. Don't only say, how can I pray for you? But just lay hands on them and pray over them for 30 seconds and encourage them. And I encourage you to do that to the glory of God and for their good. They need us. God has positioned us for a time in this place and in this time for this. So I think that's all we got on the ministries, on the missionaries. Lastly, I'll call Bob up, and he's going to share a little bit about this in-house ministry, if you will. We talked about this birthed a few years ago. What you've heard so far is not a result of Boquete Bible Fellowship doing anything or being great. It's just we try to empower and enable, and this is people who God has brought to this church and they feel called as missionaries or leaders, and we're just trying to get behind them and empower them and support them. We don't have official missionaries that we're sending out of our church or ministries, but this is the one ministry we do have. So, Bob, come on up and let's hear about that.
I agree with everything Brian said, including that Oliver could pass for a Persian. Well, it's been a wonderful morning to listen to all these ministries. I have to tell you, very impressive, and we've been blessed by God as a church to have these people here. Brian and Richard and I really encourage you guys to support all of them. Well, I'm here to finish up and to speak a little bit about the Faith in Action ministry. And most of you know about it. We have it back there, Faith in Action, turning physical hunger into spiritual hunger. And it's a ministry that supports the associated ministries. But I thought we'd go a little deeper into it this morning. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, this is God's, Jesus Christ, one of his final commands here on earth before he ascended into heaven, okay? It's not a salvational issue. This plays no part in our salvation. It's a command instead to the heart, all right? If you've been reborn in the Spirit of God, if you are grateful for what God has done for you, then you should want to follow this command. You should want other people to have what you have. So it's a command to the heart for all those who are his children who've been reborn in Christ. You've seen six today, associated ministries? Okay. Those ministries are directly involved in the Great Commission, calling people to the Lord, going out and spreading the word and the message. Many Christians, and maybe many here, cannot participate regularly in the Great Commission for various reasons. We won't go into them, but it's just not something they can do. But these ministries can. They do it regularly. So the purpose of the Faith in Action ministry is so everyone can participate. Everyone can get involved. Everyone in this church, in a small way, can get involved in the Great Commission. Again, a command to the heart, not salvational. It's not a feeding ministry. We're not in the business of making people well-fed so they can go straight to hell. Okay? Far better a hungry person goes straight to heaven. But these ministries are trying to do is to help them feed themselves, to give them an in to calling them to Christ so that a person can be fed and go to heaven. All right? And so this is a participation ministry. A participation ministry for everybody here in this church. By a show of hands, how many of you remember the story of the widow's mites? Yeah, most of you. You can find it in Mark or in Luke. It's recorded in both. But here you have a person that has almost nothing, all right? And she has these mites. And this is the least valuable coin in the Roman Empire. And so she takes these two copper coins, not silver, not gold, these two cheap copper coins, and she puts them into the offering. That's all she had. She exercised, by doing that, she exercised faith in God that God was going to take care of her needs, and she was loved by God because she participated. It was just a small little amount, but she still was participated. She didn't just put them in her pocket and walk away. Right, and that participation, I think, brings great blessing. Here we have two small bags, one of beans, one of rice, by Western standards, very, very cheap, a couple of dollars. Right, it's a way for everyone who goes to the supermarket, everyone here, to spend a couple of dollars on a regular basis and bring them here so that the people who are directly involved in the Great Commission, who are out in the field, have something, have an inroad to call people to our Lord. In this way, every single person in this room can participate in the command of God to go out and call people to Christ. it might be asked, why, if it's so important, doesn't the church buy all the beans and rice? Well, let me clarify something to you. The church is already involved in calling people to Christ. This ministry wasn't designed for Brian or me or Richard. This is designed for you. This is your ministry, so that you can participate, so that everyone in this church can be part of that great commission and to help others, encourage others to go forth. So it's not necessarily, I would look at it more as not a church ministry. It is the ministry of this congregation. And so we encourage you to support this ministry. We encourage you to support the people who and the ministers who came today and presented their ministries individually to you. And we thank you so much for everything that this church has happened in this church this year, for your participation, for whatever you've done so far. But we encourage you to continue that as the year goes forward. Continue that for the Faith and Action Ministry to help these associated ministries and continue supporting these individual ministries. Please go out there before you leave and talk to them, laugh with them, share with them. Yvonne wants them out there, don't you, Yvonne? Yeah. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to have this gift of God. It's wonderful to feel this, that God has you and he's in your heart. And now we have an opportunity to bring that to others. That's the Faith in Action Ministry. Thank you. Thank you all for coming.
I'll go ahead and ask the worship team to come forward, and I'll close in prayer, and then we'll respond in worship, and then we'll be dismissed. Join me, family, would you? Heavenly Father, we just praise you for who you are. We praise you for what you're doing. I'm blown away by what you're doing. It seems you're doing so much, and if I had to articulate it, I wouldn't have been able to articulate everything. And so this is good for me, and I know it's good for the rest of the family to get more in tune with what you're doing and what opportunities there are and how your spirit is really moving in and through this body and so many different gifted individuals. I thank you that we're not all eyes, we're not all hands, we're not all feet, but you've gifted us all different, and you've gifted us in such a way that we all complement one another, and we're all needed in a variety of different ways. And so I pray that you would show us where and how we can serve and how we can come alongside these missionaries and just love on them and support them. And so, Lord, I pray that as we continue to discern, as we continue this decision discernment, I pray that you would make it real clear and real easy for us. Lead us well with where you want us to be and how you want us to focus with support, whatever that looks like, whether it's gifts or talents or prayer or finances and so on. Lord, I pray you would just lead us well. I pray that you would continue to be glorified just after this time as we go out back and make much of you, rejoicing over what you've done. And I pray you'd be made much of even now as we continue to respond to you in worship. We love you so much. We commit ourselves. We commit these missionaries and these ministries, and we commit everything that's going to happen as a result of today. We commit it to you and entrust it to you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.